North Rock Podcast.
All right. It's dry here, y'all. I forgot how dry it gets here. I'm used to 95% humidity now, so I have my bottles. If you see them getting empty, feel free to bring me another one. I've got crunchy lips, crunchy elbows, but it's still good to be back in Colorado with all of you guys. This is still my home, so it's always a blessing to be able to be back at North Rock. So I had, a message kind of all prepared the way I thought it was going to go. And this morning when we were practicing worship, I felt like God started to change things on me a little bit. And that's really inconvenient for me because I really like to have a plan. But I feel like, so I'm not exactly sure where this is going to go today. We're just going to kind of follow God as he leads us. Are you guys cool with that? But I feel like I'm supposed to just start by telling you guys a story. And I was raised in a Christian home. You guys know my parents. They're incredible. And so all my life, they've taught me about God, about the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, all of that. All my life, they've pointed me towards God. But how many of you guys that were raised in the church know that there comes a point in your life where you have to decide that this is what you believe, not just because that's what you've seen, but because it's a relationship with Jesus that you decide to have? Has anybody else been in that position before? And so when I was 16, I was kind of in that position. I went to church and I believed in God and I loved God, but I wouldn't necessarily say that I had a relationship, a personal relationship with him until I was 16 years old. And so I want to tell you guys a story about this man that was a friend of my parents. Again, my parents were always pointing me towards other people that would point me towards God, putting good people around me so that I would make that decision. And at 16, when I wasn't really in a relationship with God, this man invited me to go to A Choir the Fire. Have you guys ever heard of A Choir the Fire? It's this big youth rally. They've got thousands of youth that come. And it's just this incredible presence of God that was in the place that night. And this man had invited me to go. And of course, my parents encouraged me to go because they knew that I would experience God in that place. And so I went, and that night, there was all these youth going forward and making a decision for Christ. And I felt in my heart that God was saying, like, this is your opportunity to choose me because you want me, not just because that's what's been shown to you, but this is your opportunity to choose me because you want me. And so that night, I went down, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And it was almost immediately after that that everything started to change for me. But I was thinking about this. And if we all stop and think about when we encounter Jesus Christ and when we began this relationship with him, it's because somebody took the time to tell us. Somebody took the time to introduce us to people that would lead us to Christ, or they led us to Christ, or they gave us opportunities to accept him. And so when I think about my life and I think about where I am now, I have to give thanks to those people. I have to give thanks to my parents. I have to give thanks to the man that while I was there that night, I didn't want to go forward. I'm not the kind of person, I know it seems weird because I'm standing up here, but I really don't like to be the center of attention. And so I didn't want to go down. But he felt the same thing that I was feeling, that God was saying, this is your opportunity. And he encouraged me to go down and he prayed with me to accept Jesus as my Savior and to see my life change. And so when I think about this man, I have gratitude in my heart for him. Because he was obedient to God in taking a bunch of us rowdy youth to going. And because of that now, all of the testimonies that I can share about what God has done in my life or through my life, those are the same testimonies that my parents can share, that this man can share, people that discipled me along the way can share, because they all poured into my life and played an important role in getting me to where I am today. And so I tell you that story because I want you guys to begin to think about the people that poured into your lives, the people that brought you into relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we're going to talk about how you can turn around then and be that to somebody else. It was a while back, I came across an article that was talking about the world's population and about how many people in the world are Christian and how many people in the world are not Christians. And so we have 7 billion people in the world, right? And they say that roughly 35% of them are Christians. So that means 35% of the people, if they died today, would go and spend eternity with Jesus Christ. But that means that there's a whole lot of people that are going to die and spend eternity without Christ. And so I looked it up. There's approximately 6,316 people that die every hour. Okay? Every hour worldwide. And so if only 35% of them are Christians, that means that every hour, please don't check my math, I just guesstimated, but that means roughly 4,300 people are dying every hour and spending eternity without Christ. 4,300 people every hour in this world are dying and spending eternity apart from God. When I hear that, it gives me gratitude in my heart for the people that led me to Christ. But it also does something else in my heart. It makes me say, I don't have time to waste. Because even right now that we're going to be sitting in this room, another 4,300 people are going to spend eternity apart from God. Man, that's hard for me to accept. That's hard for me to say that, oh, but today I really just need to relax. I really just need to blow off some steam. I really just need to, we've got work to do, guys, because there's people in this world that are dying and spending eternity without Christ. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I know you guys have heard this verse many times before. But it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So there's our command. As people who have found Jesus Christ, our command is then to go. It doesn't say if you want to go. It doesn't say if you can go. It doesn't say if you have time in your schedule, go and do this. It just says, go, therefore go and make disciples of all people. Go and do what someone did for you. Someone led you to a hope and a new life in Jesus Christ. Go and do that for them. Some of the things that I've learned along the way, and just to kind of give you an update on my life in Honduras, I have 4 teenage boys that live with me now. So you know how to pray for me. 4 teenage boys. I was on Facebook and I saw this meme and it said, people always ask me what it's like to be the mom of all boys. And I described it like this. They eat constantly. They talk about video games that you don't even understand, nor do you care about. They, you know, smell really bad a lot of the time. They're messy. And just when you think you've had enough, they hug you and tell you you're pretty. And I was like, that's so true, because I get to the point where I want to kill them and then they do something sweet and I remember that my job is to love them. But in doing this, these boys, so it's 2 sets of brothers. And I'm going to talk to you today specifically about 1 set of brothers who live with me full time. I'm their primary caretaker at this point, and their names are Lester and Hector. And they are 14 and just recently turned 18. I know. I know, my grocery bill has like quadrupled. But these boys, their mom abandoned them when they were 8 and 12. And basically, she has several other children. Their father has multiple families around Honduras. And so they know their dad, but he really only came back long enough to make the mom pregnant again and to take any money that she had saved. And that's kind of the relationship with their dad. And then their mom, who's a single mom, basically, raising all of these kids, didn't have the resources to be able to feed all of them. And so she just said, you know what? You guys are old enough now to go figure it out and fend for yourself, but I can't take care of you. And so at the ages of 8 and 12, they're out on the street looking for whoever can give them food, staying in wherever they can have shelter. They talk about for a long time, they slept in a hammock out in somebody's porch. This was their life. And then they began living in the church for several years. And then in February, they started living with me full time. And when I look at these boys, God's taught me so much about what love means through this relationship with them. Because you know what? I can tell you, in all honesty, if I'm being real with you guys, it's really inconvenient having them with me. I know that's not what you want to hear, but it is. It's inconvenient. It's expensive. They always need to be going places. One of them's always sick or needing something. You guys who are parents, you know what it's like. Sometimes it's inconvenient to have kids. But you know what? God loved me, and it wasn't convenient for him. It wasn't convenient for him to be like, you know what? I'm going to leave heaven today. I'm going to go down, and I'm going to die for these people because they've messed everything up, but I still love them, and I still want to have them in heaven. So I'll just go down really quick and do this thing. No, it was inconvenient for him to come and to make the greatest expression of love that the world has ever seen, but he did it because even in inconvenience, love is love, and God can use that to change lives. Love is sacrifice. Those of you guys that know me, well, I'll back up before I tell too many of my secrets. One day, Lester, the older one, he loves art. He loves paintings. He loves drawings. He loves studying art. He loves that kind of stuff. And one day we were in the market and he saw this painting that he really liked and he asked if he could get it. And my mom happened to be visiting at that time. And so she bought it for him. Now you have to remember that these boys, now that they're living with me, this is the first time that they've actually had a place that's theirs. Before, everything they owned fit into a backpack that they packed up every morning, tucked away in a corner, and then changed their clothes. They had two outfits, and they just rotated them. They didn't have possessions. They didn't have things that were theirs. They didn't have a space that was theirs. So a couple months into living with me, he finds this painting, and my mom buys it for him. And he's so excited because this is the first time in his life that he's ever had a possession like that, that he's ever had something that was his that wasn't a necessity. And so he gets home, and the Echo team blessed us big time by buying them dressers because they were accumulating clothes and stuff, and they were so excited the first time they got to hang something in the closet because, again, it was like, I don't have to live out of my backpack. I have a place that's mine. I can put these things here. And so the Echo team blessed us with some dressers, and the boys were so excited to have a space that was theirs. And so he gets this painting. And so I'm thinking the painting comes with this little easel. So I'm thinking he's going to put it on his dresser. It'll look nice there. I'm so excited for him. But those of you that know me, you know that I'm very orderly, that I like things symmetrical. I don't really like having help decorating my house. I like it how I like it. But when we got home, Lester goes to the toolbox and he gets out a hammer and nails and he starts hanging up his painting on the wall. And everything within me wanted to be like, you're going to put it there? Why don't you put it, you know, wanted to just say like, it looks crazy there. Don't do that. And of course, he had to make several holes in the wall before he got it just right, which again, I was kind of like, But God just spoke to me and he said, love is inconvenient, love is sacrifice, but look at this man, this young man, who for the first time in his life is making a permanent action towards something. He's hanging something on a wall as a sign towards permanence because he knows that he has a place to be, that he has a place to belong, that he has something that's his. And it still bothers me where he has the painting. But I'm so thankful that God just spoke to my heart in that and taught me that like, man, how lucky are we, those of us who have a different story? I didn't have to ever live out of a backpack. I didn't ever have to wonder what it was like to be in a family. I didn't have to do any of that because God was so good to me. But he was good to me not because I deserved it, because I'm no better than they are. But he gave it to me so that I could give to someone else, so that I can look at Lester and I can say, can put as many holes in the wall as you want, as long as you know that you have a home and that you are loved and that God has a purpose and a plan for your life and a hope for your life. Amen. And then there's Hector, who is an 8-year-old trapped in a 14-year-old's body. He is a boy that doesn't know how to give or receive love. The only way he knows how to have human interaction is by fighting, because that's all he's seen is drama and fighting. The only way he knows how to get attention is to light things on fire. I'm not joking. Or doing really terrible things. But that's all he knows. And so when I'm having a conversation with him, he always wants to turn it into a fight because he doesn't know how to have just normal communication and express his feelings. And I get to be the one that consistently loves him, because love is inconvenient. Love's a sacrifice, but love's also consistent. And I can say to him, we're not going to fight. We're going to talk. And it doesn't matter how bad you are. I'm going to keep loving you. I remember the first time, like, I would tell him every day, Hector, I love you. And he'd be like, don't tell me that. I'd be like, but it's true, you know. And I remember the first time that he made himself vulnerable to me. He told me, he was like, you're the first person in my life that's ever had me in your life because you wanted me and not because you were stuck with me. I know. That's what I did too. I was so like broken by that. And we had this nice moment, which doesn't happen very often with Hector. And then the next day he lit a chair on fire just to remind me, you know, that he still doesn't want to be lovable, even though I do love him. But this boy, he's incapable of giving or receiving love at this moment. But I know that consistently over and over again, now we get to the point, I try to speak to them in English a little bit too, because I want them to take advantage of the fact that they're living with a gringa, you know? And so they can learn some English that'll hopefully benefit them in their life. So I always say everything in both languages. But at night, I say, good night, Hector, I love you. And he used to get mad at me, and now he says, me too. It's my favorite part of the day, because I know that he doesn't just say that. Those aren't just words to him. But if he's saying it, it's because he's beginning to know what love feels like. And I tell them all the time, because they'll tell me, like, thank you for the food. Thank you for letting us stay here. And I'm like, you know what? It's so much more than that. Like, it's not about the food. When I go to heaven, God's not going to ask me, did you feed those boys and give them shelter? He's going to ask me what I did to point them to him. And so it's been a journey of learning how to be a parent when I think there's a reason you start with babies, right? I think that's how God designed it, for a reason. Because let me tell you, these teenagers are fun. I just, again, want to say how much I appreciate and love my parents for loving me through those crazy years. But yeah, I find myself calling my mom all the time now, like, I'm really sorry if I ever did this to you, because Hector will be like on the way to school. Oh, by the way, I have to take these supplies to school today, right now, in like 5 minutes, you know. You parents know what that's like. It's inconvenient. But I'm getting to experience all of those things with these boys. But I got to have this really beautiful conversation with Lester. Lester wants nothing to do with his mom. His mom lives far away from us. She lives over an hour away. They haven't seen her in a couple of years. She doesn't try to be in contact with him, but he recently found out through word of mouth that she's pregnant again. And Lester's the oldest, and so he feels a lot of responsibility for all his younger siblings. And so he was devastated by this news, and he's just talking about how much he hates his mom. How could she be doing this and having another kid when she doesn't even love the one she has, and just upset by this. And I got to share with him, you know what, Lester, I pray for your mom all the time. And he was like, I don't want you to pray for her. I don't want you to pray for her. Why would you do that? And I said, well, here's why. Because the Bible says that children are a blessing and an inheritance from the Lord. And this woman, your mom, has been blessed so greatly, but she doesn't know it. And I'm the one receiving her blessing, because I get to have you guys in my life every single day. I get to see you guys growing in the things of God. I get to see you guys changing. And I pray for her because I want her to realize the blessing that she's been given. And Lester said to me, I'm a blessing to you? And I was like, most of the time, yeah. I really said that to him, and we chuckled. He's sarcastic like that, so he gets it. But for him to actually hear that, like, I'm a blessing. Like, again, I'm not an inconvenience. There's someone who loves me. And I said, and it's not just me who loves me. Like, look how good God is, that he protected you all those years that you were on your own. He always made sure that you ate, that you had a place to stay. He sent people to tell you about him and about his goodness so you could have this relationship with him. And then he brought me all the way from the United States just so that he could use me to love you even more. Like, that's a good God. He's been good to you, even though situations have been difficult, circumstances have been tough. God is good to you. And God's been good to me. I'm here today because somebody made an inconvenient choice to do something for me. Because people, my parents, other people in my life, daily, they were consistent in their love in pointing me towards Christ. But we need to do that as a church, each of us, there's people in our lives that we interact with on a daily basis, that don't know Jesus. We say all the time, like, yeah, I've invited Jesus to come into my life. I hate that saying, by the way. I don't like it. Because who are we to invite Jesus into our life? That means like, okay, yeah, I invite you into my life on Sunday mornings, maybe a small group during the week or wherever I can squeeze you in. No, what he's asking is, no, I want you to give me your life. Give me all of your life. Because without me, you don't have life anyway. I'm the giver of life. Give me all of your life. I'm not a God of convenience. I'm a God who says, I want all of it so I can use all of it so I can give you all of it. And so we can't continue to walk through life with every hour 4,300 people dying while we are living our convenient lives, not fully laid down to Christ, not fully saying, God, you can have all of it. You can do all of it. I don't want to do anything on my own. I don't care if it's inconvenient. I don't care if it's sacrifice. I don't care what it is. I want to live for you. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Hebrews 11, if you have your Bibles, and you can go there with me. And in Hebrews 11, it talks about all the heroes of the faith. And it starts with verse 4. It says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, who warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, he, as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand of the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had not been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And it goes on to list all these other people in the Bible who lived by faith, who gave it all, who didn't just invite God to be part of their lives, but they said, God, my life is yours. You can use it as you want. And because of that, we have this word of God. Because of that, we have these examples of God's faithfulness and God's goodness, because that's what he's requiring of us. Who's going to reach all of these lost people? It's us. That's our job. As we go, when we go, this is our job, is to share Christ with people. And not that we have to get a megaphone and shout it. You can if you want to, but live your life in a way that honors God. When you struggle, let people see God in those struggles and how you continue to worship him in the storm. I love the story in the Bible of Paul when he was in jail and he just started worshiping. Nobody wants to worship in jail when you're locked up and in shackles, but he did. And what happened? It affected everyone around him because they were all set free. And even the jailer and his family gave their lives to Christ. Live in such a way that people see God. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down. These three young people refused to even pretend to bow. They lived and they stood for God. And because of that, the whole kingdom saw and got to hear of God's goodness. And even the king said, their God is the one true God. Live in such a way that everyone who comes into contact with you comes in contact with the living God who has transformed and changed our lives. That's our task. That's our role. It's our role to be able to say, you know what? I was dirty. I was lost. I was horrible. I went through all of these things and I didn't have a hope. I didn't have a purpose. I didn't know who God was or what he wanted to do. But you know what? He cleaned me up and he restored me. He made me beautiful again. And just like he did for me, he can do it for you. Share your life with people. Who are the people around you that you can love, that you can just live out Christ in front of? We don't have any more time to waste. We don't have any more time to waste. I want to close by singing a song. And this song is meant to be sung to God, thanking God for being able to make horrible things into good things. But I feel like it can also be a song that we can look at like this, like, if we can go and show Jesus to people, people will begin to sing this song and say, although I saw things that were shattered, you made me whole. Although I was broken, you made me beautiful. And by living in a way that honors God and living in a way that shows God in all that we do, even in our struggles, God's going to be glorified. God's going to be worshiped. Amen? So if you guys will stand with me this morning, you can sing along if you want to, but just open your hearts to whatever God wants to say to you this morning.
I see shattered, and you see. I see broken, you see beautiful, and you're helping me to believe, and you're restoring me peace by peace. There's nothing to do that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing to dirty that you can. Washed. sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me well. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean, unclean, oh well. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me well. My dirty rags are purified.
Just reflect on what you've done for each of us. You literally moved heaven and earth to come and to make us clean, to make us beautiful. And God, we're so thankful. We're so thankful that your love compels us to love others and to share the good news with them. It compels us not to live for ourselves, but to live for you, God. In Jesus' name.
Can we say amen to that? What a treat it is to have someone who is a part of our community who's gone away come back home, right? And so I'm so grateful that we had an opportunity to hear from Tiffany. And here's a couple things. This series we've titled, This Is That. What we're trying to do is show, look how the math is changing. Look how, to give our community a chance to see, look, this is actually church. This, over here, is that. This is the church happening. We talked about that last week, seeing the extent of North Rock's ministry by extension. And what a concrete example we have this morning, that what we just saw, this is church. This is North Rock by extension. We're so grateful for the ministry of Via Love International. And that's why we support Tiffany and that ministry in through our regular giving of our tithes and offerings. You know, every time you give, in part, some of that gift, that financial offering, goes towards supporting her ministry. But we have an opportunity today. Every once in a while, we get an opportunity to add extra blessing, grace upon grace. And so this morning we are going to receive a love offering after the service where when you leave, you have a chance. There's ushers at the back doors. You can drop off a little extra just to bless Tiffany and her ministry via Love International. Everything that you give with that second offering will go directly to her in support of her. You know, we support a lot of ministries and a lot of missions, but there's something special about having one of our own on the front lines, right? And so what a gift to have Tiffany model disciple. Modeling's the means of discipleship. It's one thing to talk about Jesus. It's another thing when you see Jesus on display in someone's life. And so we're going to pray for her right now. And then we're going to pray together a prayer of faith. So I invite you to join me with this prayer. God, thank you for the gift that is Tiffany and Via Love International and the calling that you've put on her life. And the gifts that you've poured out into her life and the passion that you've moved her with your life. We pray that that life that we see on display in Tiffany would be your life in extension as you reach out to the community of Honduras and everyone she comes in contact with. God, I pray that we would be able to partner with her, support her in prayer, in ministry, in finance, and love. And I pray that we would take her modeling of what it looks like to live a whole life dedicated to God, we take that seriously. And we begin to live as if what we believe is really true. That's really what I heard today, is that she's asking us that question. What does it look like to live as if what we believe is really true, even if it inconveniences us sometimes? So God, we want to confess that we don't do that. But we desire to. We believe. Help us with our unbelief. We pray that you would animate and enliven our own lives so that they would be a reflection of yours, so that the world might know the love of God shown in Jesus Christ. And so we pray a blessing not just on her and her ministry, but on all of us and the life of North Rock Church. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's do this. If you heard this message today and you were moved by what Tiffany was sharing and you want to step into that place of faith, we want to invite you to join us in a prayer we pray every week. It's a prayer of faith and response to the gracious love of God in Jesus. It speaks to our commitment and our love for him, but more than that, it speaks to his commitment and love for us. So we invite you to pray this prayer. But instead of starting off with, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life, I think we should pray, Lord Jesus. I think we should pray, Lord Jesus, we give you our life. Okay? Will you join with me? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we give you our life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and trust. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that for the first time, love to meet you after the service. If you'd like any prayer, we have our prayer teams up here. Other than that, make sure you give a love offering to Tiffany on your way out, and we'll see you next week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.